It is 7:14. It'll be a beautiful weather weekend, I'll tell you that. We got that going for us right now. It's a pleasant 55 degrees. I've been having the windows open the last couple of days. Hope you've been getting some fresh air in the house. Going up to 74 today, so a little bit warmer. 77 tomorrow, 78 on Sunday. Then we're back to the 80s before another little cool front comes through by next weekend. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Those LSU Tigers seem to be heading in the right direction, getting better week after week. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, Tommy. How's things with you? I know last night was a big bummer.
Yeah, it was a rough night.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, what do you do? It just it is what it is.
You're right about that. Yep.
Let's talk about those Tigers, though. Let's talk about Arkansas. What are they looking at?
Well, they're looking at a team that's coming off a bye week. You know, we talked a lot about last week and how the Ole Miss game really fell on the schedule right for the Tigers, and that LSU was coming off a bye week. Ole Miss was coming off actually a road game at South Carolina. It was the second of two back-to-back road games for the Rebels. And I don't know how much it actually did play into the game, but at least going into it, you felt better about LSU's chances because they were a little bit more rested than Ole Miss. And now the shoe is on the other foot here. LSU's coming off this very emotional win, overtime victory against the Ole Miss Rebels, and now they got to go on the road playing Arkansas, who was off last Saturday, and Arkansas still feeling good about itself after beating fourth-ranked, or at least at that time, fourth-ranked Tennessee a couple weeks ago. And the other thing about this game, every year, Tommy, and you just got to look at what's happened the last four times these two teams have met. They've been decided, the game has been decided by 3 points or less every time. And this is a game that traditionally Arkansas has always gotten up for more than LSU. Mm-hmm. This is a rivalry game for Arkansas. For LSU, in a way, it's just another game on the schedule. Ole Miss is a bigger rival for LSU. Alabama, obviously, is a bigger rival. You can even say Florida and Auburn are bigger rivals for LSU than Arkansas. So this is a game that Arkansas is always gets up for, so it's always a dangerous game and a seemingly a tough game for the Tigers to play.
What do we know about this Arkansas team so far?
Well, this is an Arkansas team that you can make a case for could actually be 6-0. There are two losses this year. They actually had leads in the fourth quarter. They had a lead in the fourth quarter against Oklahoma State, but lost in overtime. Had a lead in the fourth quarter of their other loss to Texas A&M and ended up losing that game. Talen Green is their quarterback. He's not going to complete a high percentage of passes, but he is an elusive guy for his size. He's 6'6". He can run the football. Arkansas also has a really good running back. They're going to lean on that run-pass option and see if they can't break off some long runs against LSU. And for LSU defensively, while they've done a very good job this year in creating havoc and at times keeping teams out of the end zone like they did against Ole Miss last week and keeping them out of the end zone in the second half and forcing field goals, they have been subject to the long running play, right, for touchdowns. We've seen that. We saw that a couple times against South Carolina, Colin Guggenheim for Nichols, and then last week, Ole Miss busted off a long touchdown run on a 4th-and-1 play. So that is probably a big concern for LSU defensively going into this game, not to allow one of those big 50, 60, 65, 70-yard runs against them that are backbreakers for you as when it comes to your LSU defense.
6'6", 230, you better get two hands on him.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, for years, it seems like LSU's been dealing with K.J. Jefferson, who was the former Arkansas quarterback that's now at Central Florida. But this kid, he comes from Boise State. He led Boise State to a Mountain West Conference championship last year. The year before that, he was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year. I think they have a decent group of receivers, but they don't have game breakers. I mean, I think Ole Miss threw out some better wide receivers against LSU last week. But again, it's that running game and whether LSU can certainly. And the other thing about Arkansas is they love running up tempo. Bobby Petrino is their offensive coordinator, of course, their former head coach. He is just like last week. LSU was going up against a very good play caller. They'll face the same situation again here this Saturday against a really good play caller in Bobby Petrino.
Well, it'd be interesting if they made a movie of Bobby Petrino's life, don't you think?
I think so. And he's a guy that's come full circle, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
who would have
thought that he would end up in Fayetteville after
back
the—
back in Arkansas. That's hard to believe to me, but—
yes. No. But and it seems to be working. It seems to be working. And, you know, even though their head coach, Sam Pittman, entered the season on the hot seat and— talking with folks that cover that team this week, it doesn't seem like Petrino has any interest to be the head coach again. He loves the position that he's in, where he calls offensive plays because that's his biggest strength. He's a great play caller.
I hope Pittman's read Julius Caesar. I just hope. All right, it's 7:20. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We'll start with, why does Arkansas get so up for this game? Why do they get so excited about playing LSU? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about LSU's offense and Arkansas's defense when we come back. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. Those Tigers are headed in the right direction, and they are getting better week to week. Right now it's time for traffic on WWL. 7:26, Tommy Tucker, WWLM. LSU Tigers headed in the right direction, getting better week after week. I think that's accurate, Jeff. You, Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director.
I think they've improved certainly since that USC game. And again, I go back to this. I know I probably beat this drum a little bit too much.
Beat it some more.
But for those that bellyache about playing a tough opponent in the season opener, this is why you play a tough opponent in the season opener. It gives you an idea of what you need to work on, and you strive at it.
And I would add, I would piggyback on that, if you're going to lose, do it early.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now you can
and
sit
not
there
in a conference.
Now you can sit there and say, okay, why don't they just play a tougher opponent week two? And I get it. That would be maybe a little bit more logical, but I really feel like LSU learned a lot from that USC game, and they've been building off of that game all season long, where you had a team like Ole Miss who beat Furman 77-0 in their week one game. And then they played Middle Tennessee, and they played Wake Forest, and they really didn't learn much about their team. And I think we're also starting to find out maybe the Rebels are not as good as we thought they were when they were ranked in the preseason top 10.
Somebody texted in, and this kind of puts it in a perspective. I asked you beforehand why Arkansas looks at this game so importantly, or why it's such a big deal to them, and it's kind of like they said that LSU is Arkansas's— LSU is to Arkansas what Alabama is to LSU. Accurate?
I would say so. I would say so. And you teased it at the end of the last segment, Tommy, on why Arkansas is more of a rivalry for LSU than it is the other way around for LSU and Arkansas. I mean, remember, Arkansas enters the league in 1992 with South Carolina. They left at that time the Big Eight to come to the Southeastern Conference. So they were the new kids on the block, and they were looking for somebody to kind of be mad about. Mm-hmm. And LSU's that team. It's a border school. It's the state to the south of them. They probably look at Louisiana and say, you know, those guys are a little different down there, and all this other kind of stuff. So,
is that the giant trophy? They got the giant trophy?
Yes, they play for the boot. It's a 200-pound trophy it resembles, or it's molded in the resemble of the state lines of Arkansas and Louisiana. So, and again, I mean, LSU had already these other established rivalries. And so that was one of the reasons why the SEC made the decision to play this game at the end of the year for so many years. It was always on that Friday after Thanksgiving, and it just never really took off, at least from LSU's perspective. But these two teams have played some great games together.
But Alabama doesn't look at LSU like LSU looks at Alabama, do they?
I think, obviously Alabama's got Auburn, so that's always going to be their main rival. And then Tennessee's a big rival for them as well. They always play Tennessee, who they play this Saturday, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I would say LSU, though, is right there. I mean, it's a top three rival. It's a
big weekend of college football, some big games. Let's talk real quick, Jeff, before we run out of time, about Garrett Nussmeier and the LSU offense against the Arkansas defense.
Well, this is an Arkansas defense that doesn't force a ton of turnovers. Landon Jackson is actually their best player, and he's a former LSU Tiger. Nussmeier, according to Coach Brian Kelly, really grew a lot in that Ole Miss game. So let's see if that continues. If this is a close game, which we're anticipating it being, I think you got to feel good with Garrett Nussmeier as your quarterback. This is a guy in seven games already, Tommy, that has led the Tigers to three come from behind victories in the fourth quarter. That's pretty impressive. So the guy's got the clutch gene. We'll see if it'll be needed again Saturday night in Fayetteville.
6 o'clock kickoff, supposed to be about 60 degrees, so not really cold, just ideal weather. Thank you, Jeff Palermo.
All right, Tommy, have
good
a great
talking
weekend.
To you as always, yeah. You too. Again, a big college football weekend. We'll run down some games when we come back. We'll take a break, come back, help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Time now, WWL First News. 7:44, 16 till 8 Friday morning around these parts. That's the time of day rather than time of week where we help you manage your money with Mr. Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, or as we and the rest of his friends call him, Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Tommy, how are you? Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you too, sir. Today we're going to talk about HELOCs. And let me tell you, if you think HELOC is a professional wrestling move, you really need to listen because it's not, right?
Tommy, what happened was you and I were talking about refinancing some debt. Now that the interest rates have come down, mm-hmm. The markets were reacting to the Fed's promises of starting to bring rates down, and they did. We covered that on other segments. Mm-hmm. But I just want to mention again for all our listeners that, you know, the market is anticipatory, so they started moving before the Fed actually moved. And now there's question about, and I'm saying this for a reason, there's question about how much they're going to move as we're going forward, because it seemed like the economy is stronger than they might have first thought. So we've got some rates that have started to pick up again to say, they're not going to lower to the extent we originally thought, say, some lenders, and they're kicking some of the rates back up. I think rates right now are still lower than they were. A lot of lenders are saying, well, it might be penetration pricing or whatever they want to call it. They're saying, well, I want to attract some business, stuff that we may have lost a year ago when rates were peaking, were at their height. And the refinance thing, I keep bringing up like a, you know, just playing it again like a bad record, is so many people, I still keep bumping into them that one guy called me, old Army buddy of mine, I got $50,000. He's a retired guy in his 70s, got 50 grand in credit card debt. What should I do with this?
Wait,
it's
what?
Like, holy cow. It's, yes.
That, how I mean, could it, that it, happen?
And Tom, you know, and for all our listeners, it's like, guys, we find ourselves in that, and I'm going to, for certain, I'm not picking on anybody.
No.
There was a lady I talked to in the beginning of the year. She makes about $120,000, $100,000 in credit card debt, and it's daunting because I'm sure anybody will know it goes on very quickly, but it doesn't come off that quickly unless you really are doubling down and tripling down or quadrupling on your payments. It's just, you know, a 20 plus, and in some cases almost 30% interest rate. Let's call them headwinds, you know, that the debt doesn't come off. So he had, in this person's case, and I want to bring that up specifically, but more generically, it's like, well, you know, what about your house? I'll own it free and clear. It's like not for a billionth of a second, in my humble opinion, other people's opinions may vary, but it's, why would you pay 25% thereabouts when you could make let's call it a 6% loan and get that extinguished and live a little bit better. The difference of the money comes directly to you. It's just not going to another financial institution. Don't cry yourself to sleep about them. But after we were talking about, I guess, the two different things when you introduced today as HELOCs, we were talking about a home equity loan or a second home equity loan called a second mortgage. And there are HELOCs. So I had some questions between last Friday and today about, wait, I thought those were the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is if you're saying it's a loan against your property that you own. Yes, we can check both of those boxes, but each one is different, and they're made that way. They're made to be different. They're made to be of convenience to the borrower. So that's what I thought to clean up a little bit this morning, talk a little bit more about it. But it's just for everybody. I mean, it still amazes me. Guys, I come across people on a regular basis. I mean, the loan I hear at the credit union, the loan officers deal with the majority of our members, but every now and then somebody will call me, people I've known over time and so on. And the, I guess it remains that the attempt to refinance and the attempt to move your debts around, if you have to have them, to move them around to better accommodate you. You're the borrower. You're going to pay the interest, but there's a way to move things around to make it better for you. And incidentally, I know I've talked about the former student of mine that was here, moved to Florida, got her first new car loan. It's been about a year and a quarter. Go in. They were happy to okay, 11% interest at Toyota Motor Credit. And it's like, you know, at the height, after interest rates had gone up, you shouldn't be paying more than 8. Now she shouldn't be paying more than 7. It should be in the 6s. It's to this day, to this minute, she still has the 11% loan against a brand new car. She's got a credit. It's like it's, and I'm saying that to, again, just accent the idea that there's a certain amount of intimidation for people. And I'd be one to say that's the last thing you need to be as worried about. What's somebody at the financial institutions are going to think? This is all day long. So this is like, you know, as about as nervous as going into, Rouse's and picking up a gallon of milk. Mm-hmm. I would have the same lackadaisity of going into somebody that's already loaned me money and said, I need to save money. What can you do? And let them start talking and let them start presenting solutions. But what we were talking about is if somebody has their home. Now, if you're renting, there's a whole nother kettle of fish because you're not borrowing against somebody else's property. If you have property in your asset pool, in your life, and you have a first mortgage on it, well, and what I'm hearing is, I'm trapped in my house. I can't refinance. I got a stellar rate. I'm at 2.9% for 30 years because I locked it in a couple of years ago. First of all, good for you. Bravo. I was in the same place at a 2.7 till I sold that house. So that went with it. But if you're sitting on that 2.9, it's like, well, you know, I have some equity in my home. I owe less than the house is worth. How do you determine that? You can get an appraisal. When you're going into making any loan anywhere, especially on property, somebody's going to want to appraise the property. If home values have gone up, you got a little bit more wiggle room than you might think you have. So in the person in question, he's sitting on a house. He doesn't have a first mortgage. He doesn't have any mortgage on it. So my thing was, well, you're going to bring that 25, 6, and 7% down to 6, maybe 5, or in the 5s, and say that. So he doesn't have any mortgage. But typically, if you have your first mortgage, you can have a second mortgage. You go into your lender. Last Friday, I was saying I would start where you have your first mortgage. They have all your records. They have the appraisal. They did all the paperwork. They might cut you some slack on any closing cost or any fees there. You're coming back to them to give them more business, and they would take comfort in the fact that if you want a second mortgage, they would say, okay, we have both of those here on the same house. And we left ourselves, this is a financial institution talking, we left ourselves a little room that, you know, the house is worth a little bit more, maybe 10% more, 20% more than the both of the loans combined. But if you made a second mortgage, it's going to be just like your first. What does that mean? That they're going to give you a check at the end of that loan closing. I'm borrowing money to do this, this, and this, whatever those things are. You get a check, then you're going to have a monthly fixed payment and a fixed interest rate going forward. And you could say in this person's case, I'm like, I don't know, don't drag it out. You might want a second mortgage or a first mortgage just to be like 5, 6, 7 years. And you'll get that one check. You're going to pay off all your credit card debt, anything else you want to pay off. And he asked me, he's like, well, while I'm being bold, what if I want to take a little trip? Okay. Well, as long as you got the equity in your house, the loan officer shouldn't have any heartburn about what you do, either a business or pleasure. Your house is used as collateral for both of these loans. So the fixed circumstance of the second mortgage, and yes, I can interject here. You could do that again, make it a third mortgage. You could do that again, make it a fourth mortgage. I don't see much of that. But you can. The law allows for things like that, and those could be put against your house. And people will match that off against certain needs they have in their life. If they want to buy something, use their house as collateral. You know what? I want to buy a new car. I don't want to get a car loan. I'll put it against my – if that's something that you want to do. Okay, those are the fixed parts. And somebody said, well, why don't I get a HELOC? Well, it's a credit line. that has variable interest very potentially, and it has a variable payment. You can choose, in most cases, how much you want to pay every month, as little as just the interest from the last payment, no principal. That turns out usually to be a very low payment. And or you could say, well, you know what? I'm going to pay the interest that's due, and I'm going to kick in a few dollars for the principal to bring that balance down. So HELOCs come very handy for people. So do second mortgages. Sitting down with a mortgage loan officer and understanding this better, meaning what is the best for you, because I need to talk generically while we're on the air, but it's these are loans against your home and against its value. Let's make sure all of these things are in that bucket, that you can have tax advantages. There have been some changes since the Trump years where they were having tax, they were cutting the pie a little bit differently on what you can deduct. But home mortgage interest generally, so the disclaimer here, check with your tax professional. You can get deductions even with a low rate. The effective rate is lower if the government's going to kick back some of that interest cost. I mean, it just makes sense, Tommy. And for people walking around with these large balance, whether it be credit card or other loans, personal loans, all those loans tend to have higher interest rates because there's no collateral behind them. And the financial institution is at the most risk.
Great advice, Mark. Thank you. We're out of time. You go to jeffersonfinancial.org. Quick note that Mark brought up last week. If you got a 2% interest rate on your mortgage, don't refinance. Instead, go with a HELOC and keep that 2% initial mortgage on your property. 756, quick look at traffic now, WWL.